So hello everybody and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are here for another week again of our Turning Towards Life project, which comes out of a much wider commitment. Lizzie, you and I are in. There's this conversation every week, and then there's Third Space. And I want to say to everyone who's here, welcome. And if you want to find out more about Third Space and which gave birth to this now more than 4 year old project, you can head over towards wearethirdspace.org and find out about coaching and programs and deepening into the world and all of that kind of stuff. But meanwhile, here we are for the 200th and something week. Lizzie, and I know that what we're going to do is take a source, a wonderful source piece of text that you've chosen, and dive off together into a conversation with one another that's completely unrehearsed, as every week has been, and that's goodness, the conversations we've been able to have because we're doing it this way. So to you, thank you, Lizzie, and to also to everyone who's with us, we're so glad that you're joining us in this conversation, and we really welcome you to be alongside us and to participate. You can join us in our Facebook group, and you can chat away with us and with one another there, and you can listen on all kinds of places, podcast places, and Instagram and YouTube, and we're so glad that you're here.
Thanks, Justin. So good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here. We are going to begin by reading this source, which is a poem by the wonderful David White. He has a new book coming out, I think it's called Still Possible, and this poem is called You Know When It's Time to Go, and this poem is from that book. So you know when it's time to go. Even in the midst of thinking you'll never be ready, even when you feel you have never deserved that freedom to go, even under the comforting illusion that you never had a single speck of faith in what you want, you have already packed your silent reluctance away, lifted your ear to the morning birdsong, and before anyone can wake, you are already out the door, down the road, round the corner, and on your way.
Thanks, Lizzie, for reading this. So before I read it, if you're listening, watching, listening along with us, maybe just take a moment to pause, because you might be in the midst of something. So you can let these words reach you, and then know that you can always find the poems on our turningtowards.life website, in the notes of the podcasts, on our Facebook group. This is You Know When It's Time to Go. Even in the midst of thinking you'll never be ready, even when you feel you have never deserved, I'm going to read that bit again, even when you feel you have never deserved that freedom to go, even under the comforting illusion that you never had a single speck of faith in what you want, you have already packed your silent reluctance away, lifted your ear to the morning bird song, and before anyone can wake, you are already out the door, down the road, round the corner, and on your way.
Thanks, Justin. Oh my goodness, it's quite an internal something that happens to me when this poem gets read, and I'm going to try and articulate what it is. It's like David White manages to articulate a freedom that exists that often is really obscured and really out of view. And somehow in bringing forth these words in this way, it's allowing that part that really has, really does have, always have a choice to come forth in me. And so, you know, he beautifully articulates the never be readiness, that I don't deserve that freedom. I don't even know what I want anyway. Those parts are real. And eventually at some point, the part that's more imbued with our essential path, our essential, what's supposed to be happening according to my kind of soul or something, or my essential understanding of life, that part can be trusted to come forth. Like this poem gives me faith in the part of me that knows how to walk out the door. And of course I say that metaphorically. You know, there are ways that this talks to me of circumstances, of course. But also it speaks to me of when there's ways of being that I really want to let go of and I don't seem to be able to. And then at some point I say, no, I'm not going to. So one of the things I was reflecting on, Justin, just to kind of have an example in here, is the part of me that somehow ends up in situations where I've ended up in them because I've meddled and I've done something that wasn't really mine to do, out of all good intention, but actually hadn't asked myself a question, why am I doing this, when I'm trying to help somebody or I'm trying to add something into something because I think it will make it better. And then I end up in something and I think, oh, this really shouldn't be happening, or I shouldn't be here. And I look back and I realize that actually I didn't need to interfere in the first place. I didn't need to meddle. I didn't need to put my oar in. And I'm not sure I've entirely let go of it or walked away from it. I haven't walked out the door on it entirely yet. But there are occasions where I have walked out the door on it. And the spaciousness that comes and the not being embroiled in too many thingsness arises, and I can see the freedom in it of having said no to something, not necessarily externally, but like an internal response or impetus that I have to get involved or to help or do something. I just haven't followed it. And I've sat back and let the part of me that this poem is speaking to take me forward in my choices. And then I can see what it looks like to have let something go.
Gosh, I love the way you're seeing this, Lizzie. I hadn't, there's so much in what you say that I hadn't seen here at all that's coming to me with great delight. The sense that you're talking about, I want to read back in the light of what you've just said, actually, just the first couple of lines. Even in the midst of thinking you'll never be ready, even when you feel you've never deserved that freedom to go, you've already packed your silence, reluctance away, and before anyone can wait, you're ready out the door. So I love this. It already, before you talked about it from this angle, I could feel in me this sense that one of the things that David White is so excellently doing is pointing into a kind of faithfulness with ourselves that we can have, that we are so often so much more than we take ourselves to be. So when we say to ourselves, oh, I'm the one who always meddles, you know, or I'm the one who never speaks up, or I'm the one who always puts my foot in it, or I'm the one who, we're talking about one part of ourselves, one pattern in ourselves, and underneath that or behind that or around that, there can be already growing a whole capacity for something else, which is going to involve some measure of saying no to the something that's already been established. And one of the things I love about this poem is that we don't always see that something else, that capacity to say no to one thing so that something else, a new path can open. We don't always see that that's growing in ourselves, because we don't have full sight of all of the parts of ourselves and all of the inner dynamics, and also all the way that people around us are helping us with the sort of the subterranean projects, like the underground projects that are germinating. And then we find ourselves, like I was really hearing in what you were saying, we find ourselves in that moment where we don't meddle, or where we find ourselves saying no to something that somebody's demanding of us that we never wanted to say yes to in the first place. So we find ourselves declaring something. We find this is here, and we have to go, oh, maybe in the midst of thinking I'd never be ready to do this, it was already, I'd already begun. Even in, I suppose, in the moment that we feel for the first time that this way, there's some other orientation to the habit that we have, the moment we feel, I don't want it to be this way, I don't want to continue this way, that's the first moment we can tell that something's already doing this, already growing this way. And it, the poem and what and your words are such a relief to me, because they remind me that we don't always need to be the ones who know exactly what's going on with us. I don't need to be able to account for every something that's happening in me, because I can also be faithful that there are qualities of mine and parts of me, and also people who will support the thing that's growing, that very often we have some number of those in us and around us already going on. And if we were to, as well as whatever efforts we make, trust their presence, we'd find that we were already out the door, down the road, around the corner and on the way, far more often than we imagine that we are.
Yeah, that's so beautiful, Justin. I feel that invitation into trusting not only what's there in the part of us that's budding that we don't know about yet, but also the people around us and what kind of support there is for this, what can feel like a kind of a no man's land. Because, you know, when you, this kind of image of, you know, you step off of one thing and then firm land doesn't feel firm yet for a little while. There's a kind of liminal change space or a transitional space that feels unfamiliar for a while, and then it becomes familiar. Like, I feel like we're, in a way, we're doing that all the time in our development, is like leaving one shore and finding another, or, you know, stepping through something that feels very like sinking sand or something, and then suddenly the land becomes something we understand because familiarity starts to help us out, before familiarity starts to help us out, so that we can know who we are again in some kind of slightly solid way. There is this kind of in-between space that does require a hell of a lot of faith, and I'm just appreciating how much holding we need to stay breathing, to stay open, and to not scramble back for the shore of the last place that we knew, and how it takes a real tender, open, faithful willingness to trust that the firmer footing will come. And that we are those kind of beings that will always find the firmer footing, because we are the firmer footing. It's not that some circumstance will shift, but we will. We will become. Familiarity is the, feels like the ground that we can stand on. But when things aren't familiar yet, we have to trust that familiarity will come, even if it's the familiarity with it being liminal. That will become okay soon. And it feels really moving to me in this moment as well, that we have the capacity to understand this and to have language for it. Because I think so much of humanness happens here. Like, this is such an open space to step between familiar worlds, as in, my world right now of being a meddling person is really familiar. I know what to do here. I'm going to stop doing it oh no, this is really unfamiliar because I don't know how to be, I don't know what to say, I don't know how to interact with people now because that's not what I want to do anymore. But I don't know what to do now. I've got no tools now. I've got no, I don't know what, how to be. And then something gets born that's like, oh, this is how I can be. And my actions are different. And who the world, what the world turns into looks now, feels now different to me. And I still don't know for a while what it all means. And I might quickly scramble back to that other shore of meddling and interfering. But I also know that that unfamiliar space feels different and brings different results. It's a really, really tender thing to realize that we can let go and we don't have to keep doing the thing we've always done. We just don't have to do it. So all of that kind of trouble we get ourselves into and the kind of, oh my God, here I am again, the same pattern. I just feel relieved that we don't have to keep doing it. And it's not like I have to make some kind of hard choices or something. Even out of this gentle conversation, this possibility is arising. We don't have to effort at this or something. It's just, and I think that's why I appreciate this poem by David White, because it's inviting the gentle awareness of things that we don't normally see to be of support to us in this. This part that you were talking about that we don't know yet, that's being born and that's holding us and that's inviting us. This poem is an invitation to that place. And that gentle, ah, there's something beyond this. Of course, it takes the noticing I'm interfering in the first place. But then when we don't know what to do about that, this comes in and says, it's okay, you don't have to like do anything different. You just need to be aware that there's another space that's holding you that's not that. And that has power and that has presence and it's evolving and it's here. It just feels very gently inviting and making all kinds of things possible, different worlds coming forth possible. The world of not meddling, the world of not interfering. And of course, I'm just talking about one part of me. There's 100 parts I could talk about. It's just, it feels possible, gentle and beautiful.
Love this language. Lizzie just brought in, if there's a different space that's holding us. I was thinking about a couple of things were coming for me whilst you were talking. One is, just to take another example. So you'll know this because you've been alongside me in this, that I've been looking for new ways to teach some things that I love and have done a couple of experiments with. A few months ago, created a thing which some people could come to learn with, and it was learn with me in this, and it was bumpy and uncertain, and mostly what I felt the first time I tried out bringing this new thing to the world was my own incompetence, and I was very easily disheartened and dispirited. And then over these last three days, I've had another go of trying to teach something with another group, and also having a very dear friend in the middle of bringing it, and all of a sudden it's a little bit like riding a bicycle. All of a sudden I could feel like I could ride, and there's something here, and it's very beautiful, and it's in line with my intentions. And I realize over these last few days that I have been, something in me has been working towards this over a long, long period of time. And over the last few days, I had a chance to bring something new into the world that didn't just appear now. It appeared as a result of actually many, many years of having walked out the door, down the corner, down the road, around the corner, and on my way. And of course, I'm getting very lost along the way and not knowing where I was going and all of these kind of things, that these things begin in us long ago. And that's the part, is the other part of the faithfulness, whether it's stopping something like meddling or whether it's taking up a new possibility for ourselves. One part of what this conversation is inviting me into is this kind of faithfulness to my own life, to receive, as words you've used before, to receiving myself and receiving my own life. Like something is up to something here, and part of what I have to do is keep going and keep faithful. But the other thing it also reminds me of, and you know this because you've been this for me for a very long time, is the importance for each of us of being the ones for one another who are also faithful to the something that's growing. So if it just to take up your example, if you're meddling in something in a way that's troublesome for me, one way I could go is, there you go again, meddling in the way that's always troublesome for me. In which case I'm holding you, I'm seeing you only through the standard of the thing, of the particular thing as it is now. But another way to be with you is to go, I can see that you're, something in you is stepping away from that shore. Or even, I trust that there's something in you that when it is time can step away from the shore. And we, gosh, we really need that from other people. We need people who will see in us that which is growing and that which is already beginning that we might not see for ourselves, and who can trust in its presence. So we don't keep on berating one another for somehow falling short of the standard, but instead can say to one another, I see you. And I really trust what you're up to and what you care about. And I'm right here, even though right now it's difficult and maybe difficult for both of us, difficult and confusing. And I wonder whether one of our difficulties is there's that faithfulness of this kind is something that we have to relearn, because the culture that we're in tends to focus itself on the observable, let me observe some behavior in you, or I'm thinking about some exam result in you or something, like that will measure you, Lizzie, for what you can do now, and that is who you are, except that leaves out everything else that you are. And that's the kind of faithfulness that David White is also pointing into, which is the something that's not immediately present, but which we can yeah. trust in one another.
Yeah, it feels really beautiful, Justin, when you say that. And I'm feeling into the kind of sensitivity that we all might be cultivating in order to be people that feel into this on others' behalves as well. And it's really, as you say, it's really important to have people who can say, well, I can feel there's something emerging here. Can I ask you about it? You know, each time that thing happens, this other thing feels like it's asking to be seen or spoken about or wondered about. And I was just having a fantasy of like, oh, what if someone sat with me and said, well, I hear you're saying you're struggling with the thing you're doing at the moment, and this is what I can see. Should we talk about what's emerging and what's not the thing that you're struggling with? But what's the thing that the struggle is making it possible for me to see about you? And that feels really important. The kind of emergent wondering of deeper delights, future delights, you know, things that are things in our lives that are seeking to be articulated and seen, but we're rarely turning towards them. You know, we're rarely allowing the little tug to take our full attention. We're just mostly batting it away and carrying on with what we need to do. And so I'm feeling into the gift of what that might be, to gather and to wander into each other's unknown, unseen, and be there with each other, and wondering what that is, and finding language for it, and having space dedicated to the unexamined or the unlistened to-ness in all of us. Feels really, really important in this moment. And almost like I can feel it's screaming out and calling out. It's not just tugging gently. It might feel like it's tugging gently, but it also really needs us to turn towards it. So, you know, you were speaking about the long, you know, the longevity of having walked out the door the walked out the doorness of your life, if you think about how strong that has been, and yet how easy it was to ignore it for however long. And it takes time, it's so big, it takes time for it to keep coming out and to keep being articulated and for it to be fumbled through. And it really matters to keep talking about the thing, to keep talking about that essential call, pull, curiosity, inarticulable something that feels like it wants to be received, that it wants to be heard, that it wants to be lived out, that it wants to be making a contribution. And it feels mysterious and unobvious. And that makes it really important and a really robust something to wander into.
This is showing me that of all the different ways we can be together, that we can be supports to one another in this. There are a couple of ways that are really common in our culture, which are, I think, are too shallow to meet this call that you're talking about, this possibility. So what one way is the one I said, where I'm thinking about also about friendship and about parenting and about teaching and also about coaching, which is something that you and I do a lot of. They all have the same thing. If there's something difficult here, Lizzie, I could treat you simply like you're a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And how irritating and troublesome that is. And then we get into problem solving. So now we've got to fix you. I've got to fix your meddling.
Mm-hmm.
And bring you all kinds of ways that you could not meddle. Just to take up the same example, I'm not telling you that you're a meddling person with me. So there's one way I could go, well, you're not a problem to be fixed, but frankly, I have nothing to bring here. So I'll be alongside you whilst you squirm around in your own thing, and I'll listen to you and you can tell me things. And there's something in that. But the much deeper thing that we're talking about, I think, is if I can see your goodness, if I can really trust and be faithful in the someone that you are, that is way bigger and way deeper and way kinder and way wiser and way more timeless and way more filled with life than either of us even know. But if also I can do my best to name, to say to you, I see you, I see your dedication, I see how much this matters to you. I see the way you're practicing. I see your goodness. When we can speak to one another from there, speak into the part of you and speak from the part of me with which we can be faithful, then we step outside of the very narrow world of there's some kind of problem here that needs to be solved, into a much larger and much deeper appreciation of how magnificent and whole already humans are. And then we can call one another on, which is exactly what this poem does. You know, if I say to you, even in the midst of thinking you'll never be ready, even Lizzie, when you feel you've never deserved that freedom, I can see you've already packed your silent reluctance away. I can see that you've lifted your ear to the morning bird song, and I can see that you're already out the door and on your way. That's a whole different place to talk to one another from.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so lovely hearing that, Justin. It's reminding me. So I've just finished working with someone in the States, and she came into this time last year in the summer. Actually, we had our first kind of call as to, you know, what work we might do together. And we had this really beautiful conversation about questioning everything, and everything felt kind of up in the air. And it was one of those situations where the world that somebody is in is just too small for them in terms of the horizons that exist there and the possibilities and the the things that were going on were grating against her. And so she knew that something else needed to happen in her life, which is often the point where people ask for help because we don't know what to do about that. And I remember when our work started together, a few sessions in, I said to her, I understand that I'm here to help you in this transition. But I could feel so strongly that you've already thrown yourself out of the plane. You've already done it. I feel like I now just need to be with you in the doneness. Because it's so strong. I could feel that part of her so strongly that had already exited the building. Like almost like literally, because this was to do with the circumstantial change. And that was the part of her that then became the part that I was encountering all the time. Her physical life and what was happening with her life stayed in the building for I think another whole year almost. But the part of her that was outside the building needed to be witnessed and to be encountered and interacted with in order for her to know that that part was real. And so it's really reminding me as you're talking of her and what a joy it is to be in relationship to that part of a person and to then validate that part. Because all kinds of other validation was happening, like, oh, no, the part of you that's still in the building is, you should still definitely be there. That part's a mad part. Don't listen to that part. But I got to listen to the part and to validate the part that was in some cultural ways deemed the mad part because it was anti-security, anti, you know, carrying on as usual, anti-safety of, you know, maybe income and status and all of the things that are very hypnotic in our world today. And I can feel the delight in me in this moment of being in relationship to that part of her that wasn't hypnotized, that wasn't stuck, that wasn't entrenched. And of course, there are parts that were, but those parts didn't get center stage in our relationship and don't have center stage in our relationship. We talk to them and we say hello and they're there and they have a place and all those things. But the place that we're relating from most principally is the one that's already down the road. And working in that way with ourselves, with each other, it feels like a really important validation of who we really are. And yes, it might be outside of our kind of cultural normative things of staying safe and doing things the way that you should do them because that's how everybody else has done them. But it's so relieving. I know it was such a relief for that person, this woman, to feel like someone got her because everyone else was trying to pull her back. Don't think like that. Don't read those books. Don't wander into that. And then someone comes along and says, oh, well, I'm willing to talk to you in that part. And it's like, oh God, because it feels like a more powerful part. That if I don't listen to it, how do I live? What do I do? So I'm really moved by that part at the moment. And that's what David White's poem has brought us to.
Mm. And just to connect back to something you said, you talked about familiarity earlier, Lizzie, and that familiarity has its gifts. Of course, many, many, many gifts, but it's often familiarity that keeps us from seeing this part that in the midst of thinking I'll never be ready has already started to step off into the unknown territory, the unfamiliar. And it's unsurprising that we feel shaky and doubtful when that happens. It's also unsurprising that people around us say, don't look at that unfamiliar part, because it will shake things up. The familiar keeps us in our feeling of safety. And
yeah,
there are so many reasons why having people around us who will faithfully feel into our own goodness and our own capacity, so that the part of us that wants to head off into the unfamiliar feels supported in doing that.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Justin, for today. And thank you, David, for always having excellent poetry that leads us into wonderful places. And we're going to be back next week, Justin, 9 o'clock UK time on Sunday, next Sunday, as we always are. And I just want to say thank you, Justin, for wandering in here with me. And thank you, everyone, for wandering in here with us. And you can email Justin and I anytime, justin@turningtowards.life or lizzie@turningtowards.life. And you can find out more about our wider work on wearethirdspace.org. And we'll be very excited again to see you next week for another episode of Turning Towards Life. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everyone.